I've just always been into drawing. It takes tons of time to come up with a character.
And then eventually it was Pepe. It's a happy little frog.
He liked drinking and hanging out. It became Boys Club.
It's one of the funniest comics of the last 10 years.
Feels good, man.
That was the frame that started it all.
Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser. And today, we're talking about the power of comics art, and more specifically, the power of memes. We have a filmmaking team with us, and they've directed a documentary for Independent Lens. It's a profile of cartoonist Matt Fury, the creator of Pepe the Frog, and it's called Feels Good, Man. Arthur Jones and Giorgio Angelini, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's great to be here. Yeah.
Well, let's start by familiarizing our audience with the artist, Matt Fury, the subject of your documentary. He's hardly a household name, but when you mention the character Pepe the Frog, then people take notice. What can you tell us about Matt's comic series, Boys Club, and the catchphrase, Feels Good Man, that made Pepe the Frog a sensation?
Yeah, so the name of our film, Feels Good Man, comes from a very specific reference in a series of pretty obscure comic books that started out as homemade zines in the mid-2000s. It's called Boys Club by a Bay Area artist named Matt Fury. And Matt does these kind of like stoner comics that all the characters are these anthropomorphic animals. They look a little bit like deformed Fraggles or like something kind of from the Muppet universe. And he'd done a series of four issues of Boys Club while he was living in the SF Mission and working at a thrift store called Community Thrift. And in issue number two, there is a six-panel, basically gag comic where Pepe the Frog, which like I said before, is this anthropomorphic kind of frog creature, is in the bathroom and he's got his shorts pulled all the way down around his ankles and he's peeing into the toilet. And one of his roommates walks in without knocking and surprises Pepe. And then in the final frame of the comic, his roommate asks him, well, why do you pee with your pants pulled all the way down around your ankles? And Pepe says, feels good, man. And that's where this whole weird story starts. And then from there, our movie charts, you know, Matt, who is this like underground cartoonist, you know, very much in the same world as like R. Crumb and the Furious Freak Brothers and other comics that were made in the San Francisco Mission. And then Pepe gets sort of kidnapped by the internet with none of Matt's doing and becomes this wildly popular internet meme that gets remixed and redrawn by thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And then in 2015, Pepe gets weaponized. He gets turned into a hate symbol and used by the Trump campaign and some of their social media. And so our film talks about both Matt and who he is as a comics creator and also just how the internet has sort of like, you know, can sort of pull apart and attach meanings to things in all sorts of unexpected ways. And then it was also just really about this 2016 election moment here in the US where trolling moved off of these message boards where Pepe was very popular and into mainstream politics. It's about the aesthetics and tactics of trolling.
And what you're bringing back to the screen here to show viewers is the guy behind Pepe, Matt Fury, is he an innocent? Is he naive? Is he complicit? You know, and then you find out Boys Club, his comic, it's an alternative comic, but it's good-hearted stoner humor. There's nothing pointed or political about it. And like you said, Pepe the Frog gets kidnapped away from his four animal housemates, Andy the Dog, Brett the Rabbit, and Land Wolf.
Well, Brett, it's hard to tell what Brett is exactly. It's hard to know. Brett might be a bear. He might be a short-eared rabbit. It's kind of hard to tell. Yeah, I don't even know if Matt knows what Brett is.
Well, this documentary could have been a super serious look at the alt-right and neo-Nazi movements and how they're always trying to make it impossible for us to have nice things. But, you know, instead, you opt for a much lighter touch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when Arthur told me about this project that he was working on with his friend, Matt Fury. I was aware of Pepe as the character, but was quite embarrassed to find out that there was actually this whole other backstory to it. But as he was telling me about Matt's plight, I think that's initially why I got so excited about the potential for the film, because it was something that Arthur and I had been talking about a lot, sort of in the backdrop of the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally. And the way the media was kind of handling this conversation, we thought was, I don't know, was leaving a lot on the table for opportunities to improve, right? Like there was this moment where people like Richard Spencer were almost being lionized in a sense. And the beauty of the story is that it allowed us to tell a really dark and difficult story to tell, but with a kind of important reverence and humor that kind of, I would hope, opens people up to having this more difficult conversation. And of course the animations were like a really important aspect to that as well. Because the thing about making a documentary film, especially ones that tend to be more didactic or more political, is that, at least from our perspective, you don't want to like be preaching to the choir in a sense. You want to make something that is hopefully effective at communicating something to the people that you hope to kind of change, right? And there's something disarming about the way humor operates in general, but certainly in the way that this story afforded to us. So yeah, we thank Matt and Pepe for that opportunity.
You know, Matt is not like a sanctimonious or pretentious kind of person. There's an irreverence to his comics, and it's a good-natured irreverence. But we felt like that the movie needed to tackle these bigger issues in a very straightforward manner, but we needed to do it with the same sense of irreverence that Matt's comics sort of came out of. Because we thought that would give the film legitimacy and also kind of take it out of the standard kind of like documentary format. We really thought that Pepe gave us this amazing opportunity to make a film that kind of transcended genre a little bit, that we could really kind of have our own stylistic kind of take on it. And as a cartoonist, I was just excited to make a film that was really about the potency and power of cartoons. Cartoons are often something that's like dismissed in culture so easily, but they're so important, and they're a part of the fabric of our visual language. And so Giorgio, I could take all the things that we were fascinated with, but still have this story be about this silly cartoon frog. And it was something that we just became obsessed with for a 2-year period making it.
The beauty of the film, I think for us, was figuring out how to ride that line between the absurd and like the deathly serious. And I think that's what makes it such a compelling watch. It's not every day you get to tell a story like this. And so it was a really excellent experience.
You're not above winking at the audience at moments throughout the film. There are moments when you're covering toxic shows such as InfoWars with Alex Jones, and then you would just dissolve the scene into video noise, for example. And then there's the heroic walk of the legal team that you filmed in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I was kind of talking about earlier, is like, we didn't want the film to feel precious. Like, it was so embedded in it was just the rampant absurdity of it all, that it was very important to capture that in the spirit of the film, right? And so like these winks are sort of moments for the audience to be aware that like we are also aware as filmmakers of how ridiculous all this is, but that nonetheless you must take it very seriously, right? Like no one wants to be in a lawsuit with Alex Jones, much less Alex Jones himself, right? Like that's part of the wink we're showing to the camera when we have that scene, that sort of shootout at the OK Corral scene between Matt and Alex Jones. It's like Alex Jones himself didn't want to be there, right? He's shows up late. He's like stretching, pretending like he just came out from a workout. Like that dude hasn't seen the inside of a gym since high school. But that is what trolling is, right? Like there's you have to pull the rug out from under it to diminish its power. You have to make fun of it and ridicule it for the farcical nature that it is. And so on a kind of meta level, that's what we wanted the film to feel like, because as a piece of media literacy, we'd hope that people can watch the film and really come away with a kind of understanding with how the way the world is working, how to engage the internet as an almost explainer, an emotional explainer for how to engage the virtual world, which I think has been something that society has been having a hard time dealing with, right? And that's kind of what I think 2016 demarcated for us. It was this moment that the internet subcultures and irrealities that were forming online suddenly spilled into real life. And I think for a lot of people in society, they had a hard time understanding like why things were happening and why things were playing out the way they were, and weren't able to kind of connect the dots from these obscure message boards to real life. And of course, now we have things like QAnon, which are probably like the most visceral examples of that kind of experience. And so yeah, these winks and nods are kind of, I think, really important moments for the audience to understand that, like, almost like an exercise in understanding how to deal with trolling.
You interview a surprising number of unsympathetic people who seem perfectly happy to say horrible things on screen.
Yeah.
Among others, there's a very shady Trump operative by the name of Matt Brainerd, mm-hmm. and a young man named Mills who literally lives in his mom's basement posting to 4chan all day.
Yeah. Those are two characters who are acutely aware that the camera is in front of them and running, right? They're people who almost play characters on the internet, especially in Mills's case, so much so that he kind of doesn't know when to turn it off. And so as documentary filmmakers, it was a really challenging shoot and edit in figuring out what authenticity really meant and how we rendered their characters, right? Especially in Mills's case, that was something that Arthur and I talked about quite a bit, was how to tell his story authentically without both like giving his more kind of toxic ideas a platform, but also understanding that his real truth that we were kind of driving towards was what is behind in a society that like encourages and allows someone to spend sort of 12 to 18 hours a day sitting in their basement on their computer doing something that in Mills's case is like completely aware is bad for him, but he like keeps on doing it, right? Like, so that was the emotional truth that we knew we had to get out of him, regardless of whether or not he was performing 100% of the time that the camera was on him.
Memes are an important part of the theme of the film, of Feels Good Man. You talk to a surprising number of academics and theorists. There's author and psychologist Susan Blackmore. She's making some heavy pronouncements about biology and culture to explain, you know, what people are seeing on the internet and social media.
Yeah, Susan wrote a textbook in the late 90s called The Meme Machine. And it's still being taught, I think, in like semiotics classrooms and that sort of stuff now. And she's an acolyte of Richard Dawkins, who wrote The Selfish Gene, and he coined the phrase meme. And he was trying to figure out basically like a word that sounded like gene, but wasn't, but it was talking about like basically how culture sort of moves from generation to generation, from population to population. And for him, it's this sort of like gene level view of biology that I think has largely kind of fallen out of favor within the world of academia. But this notion of memes as like a unit of culture that sort of travels around and captures people's imaginations and shapes our reality has now really become kind of newly potent in the internet age.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and we're talking about the film Feels Good Man, a profile of Matt Fury and of his character, Pepe the Frog. Joining me today are documentary co-directors Giorgio Angelini and Arthur Jones. I want to foreground Matt Fury because this is something the film does. Feels Good Man, the movie, really seeks to let people know about the creator behind Pepe the Frog. And in the film, you see Matt as he's struggling with what's happening to Pepe. And he's seeing more and more racist and toxic uses of the character. And he starts making appearances at Anti-Defamation League events. He starts rallying his fans to counter all the hateful memes and create happy, loving Pepe memes. So at first, there's a big outpouring of support. But then, you know, the hate groups come charging back even harder. And the ADL ends up labeling Pepe as a hate symbol. There seems to be nothing that Matt can do to change their minds at that point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Matt is a very analog person. So as Pepe was sort of getting handed off from subculture to subculture on the internet, Matt wasn't necessarily paying attention to all of this. Pepe was something that also Matt drew in his mid-20s, and he had kind of moved on from. There's a part of Matt that I think had left Pepe behind, you know, in 2010 or 2011, and he wanted to move on with his life as a fine artist, as a father, and kind of leave the world of Boys Club behind. He was coming out of his own basement, you know. Matt is also someone who has a very kind of San Francisco live and let live kind of attitude. And I think that was always even expressed in Boys Club. I think there is a part of Matt that doesn't want to tell anyone what to do ever. So the idea that Matt would have to enforce his copyright was something that was kind of a painful process for him. People often talk about Matt as being naive, and I usually want to push back against that because, one, the situation with Pepe has never happened to anyone else before, ever. And there's no real clear roadmap as to how to do it. Like, how would Matt have reclaimed Pepe? Would it mean like him writing emails to every single anonymous internet troll that was using Pepe? That doesn't necessarily work. He didn't have the finances to have copyright attorneys help him before it was declared a hate symbol. The irony is that it kind of had to get out of control before he could find attorneys that were willing to take this on pro bono because they knew they could get great press coverage to help Matt, you know?
Well, just to be clear, it's not just to get great press coverage. They were lovely people. It was just, they saw it as like a really important opportunity to defend copyright in this like particular moment. And like, it had to get that weird for them. They're very lovely people is what I'm trying to say.
They totally are. And they've been collaborators with Matt. They've been more than attorneys. They've been collaborators in the process. But, you know, they work at a big law firm that has the infrastructure to take on a certain amount of pro bono cases a year. So, yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound like they were opportunists because they definitely aren't. And they were disturbed by all the same stuff that Georgie and I were disturbed with post-Charlottesville. And they wanted to make a political difference in the way that they could as intellectual property attorneys. Matt, though, gives you a very specific kind of lens to see how the things that people do in the vacuum of the internet actually do have consequences in the real world. That the ripple effect of you using Pepe on 4chan does actually affect someone who has a life and a reality. And I think hopefully when you see Feels Good Man, you will have like a certain kind of empathy for people out within the sort of like beyond the confines of your screen. There's like a butterfly effect to Pepe that we thought would be powerful, you know, and that was something that Matt is also someone who is a true pacifist. And being a true pacifist means that you're constantly sort of placing yourself outside of kind of confrontation. And that in itself kind of becomes a problem sometimes. So in Feels Good Man, you see him decide to sort of like get off of his couch, come out of the basement, and tried to take on something that was so out of control that he had to do something, even though that was uncomfortable. And we think that that's like a potent message that anyone can kind of feel attached to.
Yeah, Matt Fury, he's clearly uncomfortable in this situation of enforcing a copyright on his character, on Pepe. And he's sort of the antithesis of Walt Disney. You know, he's he's happy to let other artists play around with this creation. But when it becomes clear that this is, it's gone beyond play, it's gotten into terrible harm, this is where he reluctantly goes to this big law firm. He's sort of pushed into it by his friends. At one point he says, I'm an artist. I don't like suing other artists.
Yeah, I think that was the point, is that like, I think that those early days, right, when Pepe was really just being used as a innocuous reaction meme, I think that did make a lot of sense. It was probably, I know for sure for him, it was like kind of a novelty to see this weird internet world taking his creation and doing legitimately funny things with it. Like, it was probably a very weird but like delightful thing to experience. But then as that trend morphed more into like the professional racists actually using it, and more specifically people then like actually trying to make money off of Pepe, right? Like, the people that Matt sued or his lawyers sued on his behalf were people who were trying to monetize his creation. So Alex Jones literally used an actual tracing of Matt's Pepe for a poster and sold thousands of those posters for profit. Like, Richard Spencer like literally used Pepe on his website and was actively trying to associate his alt-right movement with Pepe, and was like that famous moment that we use in the film, but I'm sure everyone is familiar, when he gets punched in the face. He's just literally describing the pin that he has on his lapel, which is of Pepe. The journalist is like, who's that character on your lapel? Because at that point, people had been kind of registering this connection. And he's like, oh, this is Pepe. And like, whack, he gets punched in the face. Like,
yes, that was the highlight of Inauguration Day 2017.
Truly.
Exactly. So, you know, Matt does hate suing other artists. I would argue that he still has not sued any artists. He's just suing assholes. So he's still free and clear of suing actors.
And also just Matt kind of hates politics. Like he sees the farce in politics. I mean, after this last election, someone sent him like a Biden Pepe and he was like, why can't this end? He doesn't see why Pepe should be used as political propaganda ever. That's just not what Pepe means to him. That's it, full stop.
The Boys Club books, they go back many, many years, started in 2006. More recently, and we see this in the film, Matt became a family man. He's a dad. He's published a children's book called The Night Riders, which is a wordless story about a frog and a mouse exploring their landscape on a dirt bike, riding through forests and seaside, meeting dolphins and bats. That one, it manages to be both gentle and kind of psychedelic.
Thumbs up Matt, right? Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's gentle and psychedelic. That's who he is as a person. The thing that I love about Knight Riders, and you know, there's a turning point in Feels Good Man. Like the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, for Matt is when a guy self-publishes his own kid's book using Pepe, and it's this Islamophobic, racist kid's book. That was the moment that Matt kind of couldn't take it anymore.
What was it?
It was called Pepe and Pede, and it was made sort of as like a piece of MAGA propaganda, like self-published MAGA propaganda. And if you kind of take Matt's book, Knight Riders, and you take Pepe and Pede and look at sort of become like the contrast of the culture divide in America, Pepe and Pede is really about xenophobia. It's about anger and keeping the other out. It's about misinformation and resentment. It's about exclusion. And Matt's book is about inclusion. It's about all these different animals from different places in the forest coming together to have a shared experience. And I think ultimately it kind of is like a very telling illustration of where we're all at. And that at the end of Feels Good Man, we want people to kind of understand that they have a choice. They can turn the internet off and participate in reality and truly sort of understand that we're all here for a short time on Earth and we have to figure this thing out together. And I think that's ultimately kind of the simple truth of Knight Riders and the simple truth of our film. And I like the way you described that book. I think it's true to Matt, and I hope that, you know, Matt will now as an artist feel free to make more kids' books and make whatever he wants to make, because there was this moment where people really kind of assumed that Matt was Pepe for all of the evil baggage of Pepe. And Matt as an artist wasn't really able to do the things he wanted to do because people would just sort of see whatever he was doing and assume that it was negative. For a period of time, people thought Matt might even be a neo-Nazi or something. And so hopefully after you see Feels Good Man, you'll at least understand Matt as a person and have like a greater appreciation for like who he is as an artist and realize that if Pepe can change, we all can.
Now, you're not looking for easy resolution, but there is a hopeful note towards the end of the film. In Hong Kong, Pepe the Frog has been adopted as a completely different symbol, a pro-democracy freedom fighter. One person explains it by saying, it just looks funny and captures the heart of so many youngsters. It's a symbol of youth participation in this movement.
Yeah, that was a real surprise for us as filmmakers. I mean, it felt like a deus ex machina when that happened. We were prepping the film to try to go to film festivals, to try to get into Sundance, and that happened. And it was super surprising, but also does speak to just how Pepe means different things to different people all over the world. While Pepe was officially being designated a hate symbol in the United States, it was simultaneously an extremely popular character in the world of gaming in places like Korea and Malaysia and Singapore and Hong Kong. And so, you know, that was something that we as filmmakers could never have guessed that was going to happen when we started the project, certainly. And I think it does give the film some legitimate hope at the end. that, you know, was very moving for us as a film crew. Yeah. Giorgio, you have anything to add?
No, it was beautiful. It was just like, it's something that, that Matt had been saying from the minute we started filming with him, is like, his belief was that like Pepe will change. Like, it's going to always change. And so don't like confine it to this idea that Pepe is a hate symbol. Pepe is everything, right? And then all of a sudden this Hong Kong stuff happens and it like completely validates everything Matt had been saying. So it's
Yeah. And I will say, like, I mean, the Hong Kong protests, it's interesting. The protesters saw memes as a very powerful tool for themselves to get their point across and to get their point out into the rest of the world. Pepe was used as a meme. There was this Shiba Inu dog that was used as a meme. They used this cartoon pig as a meme. And in part, they were using memes because the Chinese authorities had this facial recognition software that meant that everyone who was protesting had to wear a mask. And so once again, Pepe became the symbol for the anonymous aggrieved person. And in the case of Hong Kong, it was because a woman got her eye shot out with a non-lethal round. And the next day she showed up to the protest with a handmade sign, and it was a picture of Pepe with his eye shot out, wearing a construction hat. And that photo was picked up by the Western press, and Pepe became a part of the constellation of symbols that were used in their protest moment.
Wow. Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Counsor. And my guests today have been filmmakers Arthur Jones and Giorgio Angelini. They're the co-directors behind the documentary Feels Good, Man, about cartoonist Matt Fury and his character Pepe the Frog. Arthur and Giorgio, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you so much for having us. This is
awesome. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, now for our listeners who might be interested in your work and in Matt Fury's comics and children's books and all that, how can they find out more?
Yeah, so we self-released the film, actually. PBS was kind enough to give us our TV premiere. And I'm not sure if it's actually still up on their app or not. But yeah, encourage you to check it out there. That is a TV edited version. So if you want to see the unedited version, the director's cut, I guess you would say, you can rent it on Apple or Amazon or wherever you rent films. And our website is feelsgoodmanfilm.com. And Matt Fury's website, I think it's mattfury.com, right?
Yeah, and Matt's actually started a Patreon. So if anyone is moved to support Matt, they could donate to his Patreon. And he's working on a new book about dualities. And then he's also kind of starting to think about another kid's book. So I would follow him on social media and look out for what he's doing. So and he's doing an art show in, I think, 2022 that he's pretty excited about.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, yes.
Well, thanks again, gentlemen. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. And a very special thanks to Ken Jones for his expert work engineering today's program. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.